Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. This is Fred Coulter, and Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the prophecies that are happening right now. What's going on in the Middle East? Here we have yet another war, Hamas against the Jews in what they call Israel. And it looks like it's going to be a fight to the death. And many people understand that a lot of the prophecies show that they're all going to be centered around that area of the world. And it's going to involve all nations. But this war may not be the great catastrophe that is coming, because there is what is called the Abraham Accord. And many of the Islamic and Arab nations have signed on to make peace with Israel.
The Abraham Accord are ringing in a new era of Middle Eastern politics. On Tuesday, the 15th of September, UAE and Bahrain became the new Arab states to establish full diplomatic ties with Israel after two decades. Israel had earlier signed peace treaties with Egypt in 1979 and Jordan in 1994. The new agreement, penned in English, Arabic, and Hebrew, opens a new chapter for political, economic, and cultural relations. The three countries signed the three documents, the Abraham Accord, the Declaration of Peace, and the Treaty of Peace, Diplomatic Relations, and Full Normalization.
Together, these agreements will serve as the foundation for a comprehensive peace across the entire region, something which nobody thought was possible, certainly not in this day and age, maybe in many decades from now.
Let us rise above any political divide. Let us put all cynicism aside. Let us feel, on this day, the pulse of history. For long after the pandemic is gone, the peace we make today will endure. Will endure.
And they are looking forward to having trade, to having commerce, to having normal relations, and for all of them to profit on some of the plans that they have that are connected with the Abraham Accord. Now then, one of the promises that are in there is that the Arab nations agree that the Jews can build a temple. Now, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But here we're going to look at some prophecies that show that the whole world sooner or later is going to be involved in everything that transpires in the Middle East, and all of that will lead up to the return of Jesus Christ. Let's come to the book of Zechariah 12 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Now that's quite a statement and tells us an awful lot of what God is doing, doesn't it? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people all around. And hasn't that happened with the different wars that have been between the Jews and the Arabs and Hamas and Hezbollah? Yes. When they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Now that's where it's going to end up. So let's look and see where we are at the time leading up to it, because we're not quite there yet. Now, the book of Daniel is quite a book indeed, and that tells us in the 70 weeks prophecy, we look at things that are taking place right now. We are close to the 70th week. Let's come to Daniel 9, verse 26. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now, we have a book entitled The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. And that will show you how that has already been fulfilled. Now, the reason that this is important is because it shows how reliable the prophecies of God really are, and that they will come to pass. So that means that the rest of what is said here will also come to pass. But after he is cut off, then it comes ahead right up toward the end time. And the people of the prince who shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. This tells us what? That there has to be a temple to be built. And we will see how that is a key important thing to understand where we are in prophecy, because there are many who are prophesying many different things about the end time, but it's like looking at a dish of scrambled eggs. It's all mixed up and confused. So we'll see if we can unscramble it here today. But his end shall come with a flood, and that's symbolic of the power of God. And unto the end of the war, the last war that there is, Revelation 19, desolations are determined. Now, here's what is called in the Bible, the beast power will do. And this is talking about the last 7 years or the last week. Now, the prophecies in Daniel 9 are this way. Every day is a year, so every week is 7 years. But there's space between the first 49 years in building the temple until Jesus comes, and there is space from the time that Jesus finishes his ministry until the beast power. Many years, and we're right at that particular point right now, getting ready. And we will see that what is happening today is setting the stage for the coming beast power. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So that means there will be a peace agreement, and it will last the whole agreement 7 years. But something happens in the middle of the 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease, showing there must be a temple. Now we'll look at that in just a bit. And upon the wings of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, until the consummation. That means right up to the end. And the fully determined end which is decreed shall be poured out upon the desolate. And it will happen. It will take place. Now then, people want to know, when will these things take place? Even the disciples wanted to know. So here in Matthew 24, we'll look at it and see how that the very things that we're looking at today with this war, they will probably take care of Hamas and Hezbollah, and there will be a temporary peace. Then there will come an agreement, and that agreement will come when there is a new leader in Europe called the King of the North. And let's come to Daniel 11, and we will see it. Now, Daniel 11, 10 and 11 are very difficult to understand because there are spaces of time between the description of the various kings and various countries and empires. But we come up to one place in chapter 11, verse 40. Now, think about this. There has always been this constant flow of war and crusades and killing and trying to take over the whole Holy Land, as it were, for centuries. So this one describes the last one. Let's read it, beginning in verse 40. At the time of the end, the king of the south. Now, isn't it interesting that we have the Abraham Accords where there's peace, when a king will rise up and lead all that group of Arab nations? Yes. Shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, shall overflow and sweep through. And he shall enter into the glorious land, that where the temple will be in Jerusalem. And many countries shall be overthrown. It also says what he's going to do after he takes over. We have in the New Testament two things we need to look at with the coming of the temple, because this is what we need to look to right now. Now, if you're online, you go look up the Temple Institute and you will see how much the Jews have already prepared it.
We're talking about the Third Temple, the holy place that's been the center of conflict and prophecy for thousands of years. The Third Temple is supposed to be the final and glorious house of God. Try to keep an eye out for the Third Temple's construction, a significant prophetic event. Building the Third Temple is vital for the future in Jewish religious beliefs and interpretations of biblical prophecy. The Temple Mount Faithful, as an organization working to prepare Israel for the temple's reconstruction, is headed by Gershon Salomon. They created temple-related tools, erected a cornerstone for the Third Temple. It's assembled temple equipment and implements including the golden menorah, the showbread table, and the incense altar. It's also prepared men who will serve in the temple.
The Temple Institute is raising red heifers for the purification of Israel. We are training temple priests so that they can resume their sacred work in the Holy Temple. Support the work of the Temple Institute. Be our partners in making prophecy come true.
So let's look at this one thing about the temple and then the man of sin to come into the temple. Now, we can add other prophecies later as we get to them, but this is the key. Nothing is going to happen in the way of the tribulation beginning until there is first another temple built. And by the way, as I mentioned, in the Abraham Accords, there is a clause that the Arabs or Islamic nations will agree to let the Jews have their temple. But that will not be where the Mosque of Omar is, because that's not where the temple was. That's a mistake by both the Arabs and the Jews. The actual temple area is south of that by about 600 yards. And that area is available to build the temple without disturbing the Mosque of Omar. So the only way that they're going to build the temple is to build it where the temple used to be, 600 yards to the south of the Mosque of Omar. Now then, Jesus was confronted by the disciples and wanted to know when the end was going to come. And he said to them, "You look at all of these marvelous buildings, there shall not one stone be left upon another that shall not be torn down." And that happened in 70 AD. But notice what he says down here in verse 15, because this goes to Daniel and the time of the end. And this tells us something very important. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the one who reads, let him understand." Now, that statement Jesus did not speak. The Apostle John, who canonized the New Testament, put it in there because he did not understand it. Since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and there was no abomination of desolation in 70 AD, that means there has to be another temple, and John knew there had to be another temple, because we find in Revelation 11 that John was told to measure the temple and the court. So he put the statement here, the one who reads, let him understand. Why? It says, when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, then the one who reads, let him understand. Now here's the key. You have when and you have then. Now, this is the piece that is broken in the middle of that 7-year period. So this begins the Great Tribulation. So when that abomination goes into the temple, and we'll see what that is in a minute, then there shall be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. And if those days were not limited, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake they are limited. Now, let's come to 2 Thessalonians. So let's read it here. One of the first prophecies, because they were looking at what Jesus said during Matthew 24 and were expecting it to happen in their time. But no, there's lots of time coming clear down to the end before that would take place. So, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, makes it very clear, see, and this event that we're going to read here did not happen in 70 AD, when, just before the temple was destroyed. So that means there has to be a third temple. Revelation 11 shows there will be a third temple. Everything that is working out in bringing it up to that point, the Jews want the temple and the Islamic nations will agree to it, but it will have to be in the right place. Now, if you don't have the DVD that explains that to you by Ken Klein, you write to us, we'll send it to you absolutely free. It's astounding. Now let's pick it up here in verse 3. Do not let anyone deceive you by any means, because that day shall not come unless the apostasy shall come first. Now, this is the great apostasy, the great leaving of God, the great coming and worshiping the beast, the great power of Satan, and everyone worshiping Satan. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, notice what he's going to do. Verse 4. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. That never happened in 70 AD. So that must happen here. And when we read the prophecies in Revelation 13, you will see exactly how that's going to be. Now then, he says this, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. Now we read that back in Daniel 9, and we read that in Matthew 24, which is at the time of the end. For the mystery of lawlessness is already working. That's what the religions of the world are. Lawlessness. And all the religions are coming together. And there's going to be a one world religion. There's going to be a one world government all together. And this man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to rise up out of it and be a miraculous man. And he will have with him the false prophet, as we will see in Revelation 13. Who will do signs, who will do wonders, and it's an amazing thing that's going to happen, is restraining at the present time. In other words, there may be many attempts to try and make it happen by Satan and men, but God is going to control it until the time that he has determined, until it arises out of the midst. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That tells you when it's going to happen, at the second coming of Christ. So this temple must be built. And they have all the plans, they have all the things they want to do with it, okay? Now notice, even the one who is coming is according to the inner workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's going to be an amazing thing. There will be for 3.5 years an amazing peace. And everyone will think, oh, men have solved their problems, and now they're all going to get along. Not so. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing, because there's a cause for everything. They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That is, the people rejected the word of God. So along comes the deception of Satan, the devil, and they're swept into this whole thing. Now that's just ahead of us. That has not happened yet. So this war that is taking place right now is in preparation for that to happen. So we will see what will take place. We'll have to see how long that will take place. But know this, on the day they start building the temple, you know that the time is short. Also, when you reject the truth, this happens. For this cause, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. What is the lie? That this man is God. Now let's come to Revelation 13, and let's see the prophecies of this whole system being resurrected. And it's a combination of all the nations of the past empires coming together. And it's going to be a worldwide thing. And he's going, the one who is called the beast power will be the whole system. And they will have the leader called the miraculous man, the wondrous leader who is bringing peace to this world. But it will all fall apart right in the middle of a 7-year peace pact. Revelation 13 and verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Then it describes it. And this is taking from all of the past nations, all past empires that have fallen. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, like his feet of a bear, mouth of a lion, and the dragon, that is Satan the devil, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. Now then, let's see what's going to happen with this. This is going to be such a miraculous thing to take place that unless you know the truth of God and you understand the prophecies of God the way that God has given them, you may be deceived into coming into this system. Verse 3, and then he received a deadly wound, and it was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now notice, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, who is Satan the devil. And this is the power of Satan, the power of darkness, the power of evil at its highest point in the history of mankind. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? Absence of war is peace. But that won't last. and a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Remember what it said in Daniel 9? And in the midst of the week, bang, this is going to happen. So this is where we are. This is why the war in the Middle East right now, it is setting the stage so that the final things can come into place. Now, we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know how many years that there will be. So we must watch the events. Those who say they know the time do not really fully understand the time as they should unless they understand the flow of events of prophecy. And so what I've tried to do to bring to you here is to show you where we are in prophecy right now, how close we are to the end time, and what needs to take place, and what prophecies need to be fulfilled. And so we'll look at some other prophecies next time and see how those will also come to pass in a miraculous way. And those who don't know the truth will be deceived. And they will think this is a great and wonderful thing. But in the middle of the 7 years, 3.5 years, bang, it's all going to fall apart. And the end time wars in the book of Revelation will follow in rapid succession. Now, we have a whole series, Daniel and Revelation prophecies series. We also have the book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Now, you need those things on prophecy. We have some of these things online as well. So, whatever things we can send you, you can understand these prophecies, we'll do so. And don't forget the book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will give you a start on what you need to do, how you can come to God, how you need to repent, and understanding why you were here, because that's the most important thing for you to know. Why were you born? We send all of these free, no cost to you, so you can understand the Word of God. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home. And to everyone out there, so long, everyone.